You put aside 10% or so of your income for a rainy day and lived on the rest. Consumer credit wasn't widely available. The closest most people got was an account at their local grocer that they could pay off once a month, or a layaway plan at their favorite department store. If you did get a loan, for a car or a home, the lender was pretty conservative about how much you could borrow. All that has changed. Instead of just saving for a rainy day, people now have to save enough to cover most of the costs of their retirement, a period that can last decades instead of just a few years. Traditional pensions are disappearing, and even employer help in the form of company matches in 401k plans has disappeared at some firms. Then they're saving for college. Instead of a luxury for the elite, a college education is now a necessity for most. Although college can be a tool for economic advancement, these days it's also required if you don't want to slip down the financial ladder. Because of changing job markets and employer requirements, the son or daughter of a union worker who had only a high school diploma must now have a 2-year degree and more likely a 4-year degree simply to match the parents' earning power and benefits. But the costs of college have exploded, far outpacing inflation and the ability of many families to pay. Medical and housing costs have soared as well, taking much bigger chunks of workers' paychecks than in the past. At the same time these changes were occurring, the availability of consumer credit was soaring. Between 1990 and 2007, credit card debt rose fivefold as card issuers competed aggressively to sign up new customers and extend more and more credit to the ones they had. Lenders' standards got looser and looser. The idea that a lender wouldn't let you take on a loan you couldn't afford became a joke. With sophisticated analytics, credit scoring formulas, and a whole market system designed to whisk risk away from lenders and on to investors, what the borrower could afford became an afterthought. And then, lenders didn't think about it at all. All this credit papered over the crisis many American families experienced. Their incomes stagnated while their costs rose. Median household income peaked in 1999, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, and a decade later, inflation-adjusted incomes still hadn't bounced back. For many families, borrowing became the way to stay afloat and maintain the lifestyle they thought they'd already achieved. Credit got tougher to get as lenders pulled back from their Great Recession losses. But it is still possible to get a far bigger mortgage or auto loan than you can comfortably afford. It's still possible to get in over your head with credit card debt. Meanwhile, lenders have come up with new ways to snare people with short-term borrowing, payday loans, payday advances, and bounce protection that can quickly upend a budget with triple-digit interest rates. So, millions of people are struggling with finances that simply don't work. They cut out the lattes and the dinners out, if they were ever indulging in those, and they still barely skate from paycheck to paycheck. Even if they're doing better and setting a little money aside, they're plagued by the worry that they're not saving enough, not doing enough to make sure they won't end their days in deprivation and want. Equally altered are the rules by which corporations function. Behavior that previous generations would have condemned as scandalous, predatory, or even illegal is now considered the corporate norm. That means that we, as consumers and investors, have to be vigilant as never before if we want to keep the money we worked so hard to earn. Personal financial literacy, educating ourselves on the realities of the new world we live in and implementing the financial strategies that will work in it, will allow us to prosper no matter what. In this book, I'll guide you through the 10 most important things you need to know to make your money work. These 10 commandments of money are principles distilled from more than 15 years of writing about money and helping literally millions of people get their finances on track. First as a newspaper columnist for the Los Angeles Times, and eventually as the most read personal finance